Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, 22 to 40. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought him in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed him and said, Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from then, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at the very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak to him on all who are waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Promises, promises. A dying man, gave each of his best friends an envelope containing $25,000 in cash, but he asked them to place it in his coffin. A week later, the man dies, and his friends each place the envelope in the coffin. Several months later, they get together, and first friend confesses, feeling so guilty, that he only put $10,000 in the envelope, but he sent the rest to missionaries in South America, thinking breaking the promise was okay if it was used to help other people. The second friend, after the first friend shared, also felt guilty, and he said he only put $8,000 in the envelope. He had donated the rest to a medical charity and for all these different reasons. The last friend was outraged. I cannot believe that I'm the only one who kept my promise to our dying friend. I want you both to know, in the envelope I placed in the coffin, that contained a personal check for the entire $25,000. That third friend kept the promise. I guess, well, sort of. We hear in our lives many promises being made. We make promises many throughout the course of the days, some of which we keep, some we do not. Sometimes circumstances outside of our control make it hard to keep promises. Sometimes we just forget. Sometimes we keep them, but then break them, but promise to keep the promise going forward. We live in a culture and a time where we expect people not to keep their promises, not to stand by their word because we've been slighted, burned in the past. We're defensive and doubtful of even the most sincerest of people because we know that even the most sincerest of people have been known to let us down. As Jonathan Swift, the great satirist, wrote, promises and pie crusts are made to be broken. As we look at the passage for today, it's one of the stories that happens after the birth of Jesus, and it involves two people, two heroes of the faith, Simeon and a widow named Anna, who both were made a promise. This was not just any promise from anyone, but a promise that they would see the Messiah. They would see the anointed one, the one that all had been waiting for. And this was a promise that was directly, not from other people, directly from God. And Jesus, little baby Jesus, was the fulfillment of this promise. So who were these two heroes of the faith? They were very similar, Simeon and Anna, even from this passage, this short passage that we read. We realize how similar they were. Both had lived a long time. Both had been living out this promise of God. We know that they had strong faith, strong expressions of their beliefs just from the passage. They both spent a lot of time at the temple. It says that Anna was there night and day. She was there when it opened, the first one in, and then the priests and the other workers, and then she was the last one out when they closed the gate at night. Luke calls Anna a prophetess, a woman who, to whom future events or things hidden from others was revealed, either by inspiration or dreams or visions. She was a lady who could read the writing on the wall, so to speak. They were both righteous. They were both devout. They sought to do what was right and followed the law of God. They were both God-fearing. Both of them were actively and intentionally seeking God daily, wanting more and more of God. They also had in common that they were waiting for the consolation of Israel. And that word, consolation, means comfort. They were not just people getting by, but they were waiting each day for the kingdom of God to arrive. They were resting in the promises of God that the whole world would be radically changed. They knew that things were hard and the oppression of the Romans was too much for the people. And after generations of being oppressed by different groups of people, by different countries, by different regimes, they lived in the light of the hope that it would end. And he, being well-versed in the scriptures, knew from like the prophets, Isaiah, that God would come and comfort the people. This is Simeon. God will console and comfort his people was a club that some remained a part of, and it was open to everyone, but a lot of people had kind of given up hope. They had stopped kind of hoping on that and just kind of kept going. They weren't as into it, as focused, as such a big part of their life as Anna and Simeon. God promised to comfort his people, but the people had given up. They had decided that getting through the day and getting through this time was hard enough. So not everyone then really believed the promise of God, that God would save his people, that the Messiah would come and radically change things. So these two were special, part of a special group that held fast to these promises. So what can we learn about God's promises from these two heroes of the faith who really got into, and as we come into, we're into February, but this Christmas spirit, we learn that the Holy Spirit is how God makes promises known. Luke, in his gospel, uses sight as a metaphor for perceiving the word of God, getting it when it comes to faith. So these two shining examples for us of people who saw with their hearts, their souls, their minds. It's as if each stood there and felt the presence of God's promises about to be fulfilled every single day. The Holy Spirit revealed who this baby was. And remember, all they saw was a baby. They didn't see a man walking around teaching, healing, doing, casting out demons. All they saw was this little infant baby. The Holy Spirit was the one that told Simeon and Anna that the promise of God would comfort his people. The Holy Spirit is the action, the energy, the one behind all of the what's of God. God still speaks to us through the power of the same Spirit. That's not changed. Sometimes we diminish or we kind of say, oh, well, you know, some other parts of Christianity kind of hold a little bit different view of the Holy Spirit and things. But the Holy Spirit is alive and well, and it's the glue that connects us, and it's the energy that propels the church into action. We see that the Holy Spirit is critical in the promise of God, that then and now. We also learn from Anna and Simeon that all the promises are kept not in our time, but in God's time. And this is a hard one for so many of us. God's time, in the Greek word, is kairos time. God always works at the right time. God's time is the right time, the destined time. This is hard for us because we live in linear time. I hope you're out there nodding. Yes, everyone's time goes linearly, 1 minute, next minute, next minute. But God's time is different. When God makes promises, it may be thousands of years to us before it's fulfilled. But for God, time is not like that. God rests above time. We don't know how long these two waited, but I'm sure there were times where they wished it would have come sooner, faster. As they got older and as they had less, you know, less days ahead of them than they had behind them, they probably started to think, is God going to keep this promise? And I don't know about you, but there are times when God doesn't move fast enough for me. Injustices in the world, hunger, pain, God cannot end any of these things soon enough for me. And he promises that he will, but it's not fast enough for me. We need to remember this as we wait on the promises of God, that God does not have a wristwatch as much as we'd like. And if God promises, God will keep it, but it's not soon enough. It rarely is. But like Anna and Simeon, it was the right time. It was the needed time. And we can trust that it will be done. We learn of the promises through the Holy Spirit and that it's kept in God's time, but we also learn that God's promises are for all people. When God promises something, it's not just a single group or a special group. God promises to all people, no matter who you are. We sometimes have a problem with this because we like being special. It's nice to be special, but Simeon says clearly in his prayer, his joyous prayer, that this little baby is going to be the savior of all the people. The promise for the Gentiles, for the Jews, for everyone. It wasn't just for hardcore people, but also for people working through doubt. It's for happy people and sad people, chosen, you know, but all are chosen and truly for all people. We need to remember this as we share about God and his promises, that people sometimes we least expect need to hear the promises just as much because they have just as much access to it as we do. That we are not the gatekeepers or the controllers of who gets to hear God's promises. And the last thing that we learn from them, and it may be redundant, is that God always keeps promises. And this is something that no matter how much we focus on, we can never focus on it enough. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good, as the saying goes. It's the surest thing, more so than taxes and death. God kept his promise to Simeon and Anna. They saw the baby, and Simeon sings a song praising God and thanking him for keeping his word. We, like we said, we make promises a lot. And keeping those promises speaks volumes about our character. Thomas Fuller says, and this is what we're more used to, a man apt to promise is apt to forget. But this is not the case with God. God's character is built on that God keeps God's promises. And I'm sure you have people in your life that you can count on, right? My friend Brian is that friend. When everyone needs you, I can call him. I could call him right now and say, I need you to come to Connecticut. He lives in Maine. I need you to come and help me move a couch. And he would come and I can count on him. God is just like that, but even more so. God is the one who is there to help you move, right? Whenever if you want to find out who your friends are, you call and say, I need your help moving. And then you'll know exactly who your friends are because other people who are kind of peripheral friends will not help you move. It weeds out your close friends quickly, especially because sometimes they'll work for pizza and things too. The God of Anna and Simeon, our God, always keeps promises. It's against God's nature to make a promise and not keep it. God does not make promises willy-nilly, but when he does, he makes it happen. He is amazing and powerful in doing so. And we need to be reminded of this, that God keeps promises, because the hard stuff, the doubt, the fear, the intensity of life, the relationships on earth that have let us down, we assume that God is just another letter downer. I made that word up, but he's not just another letter downer in our life. An elderly Christian was in distress as he lay dying, and he said, "Oh, Pastor, for years I've relied on the promises of God, but now in the hour of death, I can't remember a single thing to comfort me." And knowing that the man was feeling disturbed and worried, the preacher said, "My brother, do you think God will forget any of his promises?" And a smile came over the face of the dying man as he exclaimed joyfully, "No, no, he won't. Praise the Lord, now I can fall asleep and trust him to bring me safely to heaven." And peace flooded his soul, and later he passed in peace. We can be afraid to buy into this idea that God won't forget God's promises, but we shouldn't. We've been burned by promises. We've run into people who say one thing. When crunch times comes, they do another. We've spent so much time around the opposite. But it reminds us and guides us back to the fact that God is not like this experience that we've had. I like this passage because we see it in two ways that God uses promises in Scripture and in our lives. Simeon's way is that God can make specific promises to specific people for a specific time and a specific purpose. God said he would see Christ before he dies. That's really specific. And sometimes God does make those kind of promises to us. But Anna shows us another side. She didn't have a specific promise, but she had a universal promise, and that was enough for her. And we get both of these in our lives. Both of them are equally true, and we can trust them. God will make promises to us specifically, the Simeon method, and then there's a slew of larger promises that God can make to everyone that are just as valid and real. I actually looked online and I Googled the promises of God into the Google search engine. And one thing said there were 7,000 promises of God in the Bible. I didn't want the sermon to last for 4 hours, and I don't think either do you. But there are larger promises that we can kind of get our mitts on. They are larger promises that speak to the needs of our daily lives. And believe me, these are just a few. I'm not going to do 7,000. But God's presence, God's protection, God's power, God's provision, God's leading, God's purposes, God's rest, God's cleansing, God's goodness, God's faithfulness, God's guidance, God's wise plan in our lives. These are just a little bit, and each of these has scripture that support it. But these are just a few of these kind of promises, and these are all promises that God will keep. Boy, could I go on and on. If God promises it, God will do it in the list of stuff. No matter who we are, what we're doing, we find ourselves. But if we want to take that list and simplify it, here are just two promises that we can hold on to this week. God promises to never stop loving us, and God promises to never leave us, no matter what's going on. So this week going forward, let us not be afraid of resting on these promises of God. We need them, and as things get harder, and maybe things are hard for us right now, we can hold on tighter and tighter to the promises of God. As one wise person once said to me, you can't break God's promises by leaning on them. Simeon and Anna did this. They leaned on the promises of God, and they didn't break. And maybe we have done the same and have forgotten, or maybe some of us have never learned or even tried, and God is challenging us. Pick a promise of God and rest in it. See if no matter how hard you hold on to it, how tightly you lean against it, see if it will break, and I promise you, it won't. The title of the sermon was Promises, Promises. And these promises are ours. We have the Holy Spirit as a down payment of things to come and the speaker of and reminder of the promises that live in our hearts. We've come through Christmas and now we're into our new year, but we too have this baby who is still the hope and promises that the best is yet to come. The world, the hope of the world and the restoration of the world are in this same Christ. And all that we do in this life is not in vain, knowing that by grace alone we can say with our brother in faith that we can depart in faith. As Simeon said, depart having seen the fulfillment of the promise, having seen the salvation that is in Jesus. Let this be our goal. Let us believe in this great promises of God as made to us, whether it's universal or specific. As G. Campbell Morgan says, I believe the promises of God enough to venture an eternity on them. Let that be our belief this week, to this life and beyond.